Good evening, everyone. I would like to call the July 11th, 2019 meeting of the Ulster County Energy and Environment Committee to order. And I'd like to start with the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we're going to take a few minutes of silence. We lost a beloved legislator, Jim Maloney, passed away last evening. So, the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just have to say that, you know, we sit across the aisle from people, but as Bill Clinton said, we're 95% the same, and we tend to focus on the 5% difference. And when you lose someone like we just have, that 95% becomes so much more important. So with that, I'd like to ask if people have had a chance to review the minutes of the June 6th meeting. And motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Legislator Morrow, seconded by Legislator Hefner. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And at this time, I'd like to invite Tim Rose from the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency to give us an update.
Everything's fairly quiet at the agency right now. Probably the biggest thing is the bids for the found disposal and for the trucking. We received the disposal bids. The trucking bids will be open tomorrow. So I really don't have any information for you. But I can tell you, at least the final disposal came in really good. Matter of fact, I spoke to a consultant yesterday who's from the central part of the state. We were talking about some of the bids we received, and he's shocked at how low some of them were. He goes, they should have been 50% higher. That's a big number. And that was from a consultant who deals with waste all around the state. I said, I was looking at, you know, I was telling everybody at this table and others that I was expecting a 20% increase. I'd be shocked if it was anything less than 10%. And at least the final disposal bids came in down in the 10% range, you know. But I don't want to talk too much about it because a monkey wrench can get thrown this whole thing tomorrow. So please don't get your hopes up.
Wasn't that your concern, Tim, that there's a transportation element that would be the...
Yeah, that's my bigger concern out of the two. I was very happy with the bid results. We have five landfills that bid on it all across the state. No waste energy plants bid on it. No landfills in Pennsylvania on it. Last time we had a few in Pennsylvania. They don't make sense because of the trucking. We can only do 20 tons in Pennsylvania border. Here I can do 35, 37 tons without a problem. So the trucking goes up to the roof. But we have five landfills bid on it. In general, I'm going by memory here, the best bids we had were in the mid-20s. And on one landfill, the majority of the other landfills were all up in the 30s. And that's really where the market is, was in the 30s. So, but tomorrow at 2 o'clock, I'm going to be wringing my hands. and I hope it doesn't, the monkey wrench doesn't get thrown in this whole thing. And they may end up being, I don't know. I don't want to take a guess.
Not with hazard either.
I'll find out more tomorrow.
Do the bids for the transportation come in depending on the distance? And how can they bid on the transportation? They don't know where it's going.
That's why we did the disposal first. So what I did then is we had five landfills to bid on it, and we supplied the fuel. These trucks get about 5 miles per gallon, right? So what I did is I took the five landfills that bid on it, and I asked the trucking companies to give me a bid on going to either Kingston or New Paltz, but I gave them a percentage breakdown. It's about one third of New Paltz, two thirds in Kingston. And I asked them to give me a bid on X amount of gallons going to landfill A, X amount of gallons going to B, going to C, going to D and E. The trucking companies may not bid on all five. You may have a trucking company that just the location of the landfill may work for their home base. So they may only bid on one landfill, you may have bid on two. And I won't know until we open those up tomorrow. But there's not a lot of trucking companies out there. So I'm expecting maybe three bids. I'm hoping for three. I think we're definitely going to have two. But I'm hoping for three. But that is, like Brian had mentioned, that's more of my concern than the final disposal. I was just telling everybody the final disposal bids came in pretty good. Yeah, I was pretty happy. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a consultant yesterday who works all around the state, and he said those bids should have been 50% higher. So he said, yeah, they really, I don't know how you did it. I said, well, it wasn't me. I said, no. We were good. Yeah, take credit. So, but I don't want to get anybody excited because we still have to open up the transportation bids tomorrow. And that could throw a monkey wrench in this whole thing because there is a shortage of drivers in this country. And so I'll know after 2 o'clock tomorrow how this whole thing will shake out. So, then we hope to award the bid at the July board meeting. Then we can move forward with the budget. And as we do every year, the budget will be sent to the legislature and to the county exec in August. Their August board meeting is when the board of directors adopts the budget. So that's it.
And on July 20th, there's going to be a household hazardous waste collection for Ulster County only, and I know I have, and probably we all do. It's a really good system. I registered, and just today I got a call reminding me, and that's so important because if you register a month ahead, and then you know, so there is still space if anybody needs
Where
it.
Is it?
Our July event is at the DEC headquarters in New Paltz.
DEC.
Yeah.
The April and October events we hold in Kingston, and the July event we try to get the southern part of the county.
Yeah.
So those people don't have to travel. So it's always worked out. We haven't always done it at the DEC headquarters, but in recent years we have, and it seems to work out. DEC is great to work with. They have their staff there to help us out. So
so well done and so efficient.
Oh, thank you.
And the one thing I want to say about the bids is that it gives us a 5-year window. We have 5 years to, the agency's in the process of developing a solid waste plan and designing it, implementing it, funding it, all of that. Ideally, we want to be ready for the end of this sort of window of time that we have where we'll still be exporting our waste, but you know, to come up with a solution or a series of solutions and actually have them implemented. So I think that the clock is ticking. There's a sense of urgency, and the Solid Waste Planning Commission is in communication with the agency. There's a very preliminary draft of a plan that has been started and will be moving forward.
I'm glad you mentioned that because one of the other things that the consultant said yesterday, this consultant again works around this, he used to work in landfills as well. He's very familiar with the solid waste industry. He's very familiar with what the costs are. But his words to me yesterday were, because he was shocked on how the bid results came in, especially for one landfill. That was Seneca Meadows came in pretty low. The other landfills were all up in the 30s, and he said that's really where the market is. He was, I don't know how you're getting a rate down in the mid-20s. But his response to me was, he said, how did he word it? Something like, don't expect in 5 years now when you go out to bid again, don't expect you're going to see nobody even close to this. Because I can tell you that. I've been following the waste industry for years in New York State, and you're not going to see it. Because you got to be really lucky. As long as the transportation comes in.
Thank you, Tim. Any other questions or comments? With permission of the Energy and Environment Committee members, I had allowed the folks that are concerned about the 850 Route 28 project in the town of Kingston 10 minutes to speak with us. It's really mainly informational. There are certainly environmental concerns around the project, but there is a process in place for the town planning board and then ultimately the county planning board, but not the legislature unless, and that's one of the reasons I asked our attorney, Dave Gordon, to be here in case there are recommendations about legislative action, you know, to know whether or not those would be appropriate. And I really want to keep it to 10 minutes because, as you can see, we have a long agenda. So I don't know, Kevin or who wants to start? Yeah. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Have a good night, Tim.
Hi, I'm Kevin Smith. I'm with the Woodstock Lane Conservancy. I've got, I'm not sure I have enough for everybody. This is a fact sheet that we just generated on the project, and it's posted on our website now and social media as well. The project, is anybody not familiar with it? And I guess I should preface it by reiterating what Manager Joe said, that there's no action here for the legislature as things currently stand. Do we recognize that? I'm not coming here today to ask the legislature to take an action. But we wanted to just let you know about this proposal. It's generating a tremendous amount of public interest. I'm sorry I don't have maps with me. I do have this, and I can set this up, and I'm sorry if I'm going to block you all, but if you know where it is. These two gentlemen here are neighbors of the proposed site here on Wagonk Road. This is Ashokan Reservoirs right here. This is the Onteora Lake section of the Bluestone Wild Forest. Sorry, Lynn.
Oh, no, please, no.
This is the Jockey Hill section of the Bluestone Wild Forest with Maury Hill Road bisects those two sections. The yellow property here is a 208-acre property that we've been working on with New York State DEC and with the Open Space Institute since going back to 2012. And over the last 2 to 3 years, the Open Space Institute was able to negotiate the purchase of this property from the previous landowner. And it will be conveyed to New York State, and it will be incorporated into the Bluestone Wild Forest, of which these two sections are the two largest adjacent sections of the Bluestone Wild Forest. What you see here in terms of the trails are existing trails already on state lands connected to the fully accessible DEC day use area, very popular at Onteora Lake, and those sections of existing trails, and existing trails at Jockey Hill, which are also very popular multi-use trails, especially used by the mountain bike community. What this new property makes possible is the connection across Maury Hill Road between two previously disconnected portions of the wild forest. And we're hoping that in the future we can also facilitate, there's an existing trail, we would need an easement or purchase of land to bring it out to the top of Zena Road and connect it to the Ashokan Rail Trail. So that's kind of the frame of how we got involved with the quarry proposal. The quarry proposal is on this property here. You can see it's almost completely surrounded by existing New York State land and the new Open Space Institute property. It's accessed by a small driveway that comes in here off of Route 28. And the proposal itself, and I'm just reading from the sheet, is a 240,000 square foot, two buildings, 120,000 square foot each, on a former quarry site for precast concrete and steel fabrication. And it was moving through the Town of Kingston Planning Board, continues to move through the Town of Kingston Planning Board. That may go off after a minute. I hope that's okay if I move. The Town of Kingston Planning Board assumed lead agency status, and they're doing a coordinated review with the Ulster County Planning Board and New York State DEC. DEC has approvals over two minor wetland stream disturbance permits. The County Planning Board is playing its usual role of providing review, making, I think they call them required modifications, feedback input to the Planning Board at the Town of Kingston. And unfortunately, the way that this has all transpired is that the Open Space Institute acquired the property 3 weeks prior to the Town of Kingston issuing a negative declaration of environmental impacts. We had no inkling that this project was moving through the Town of Kingston. The notice, the required public notice that the neighbors got on Wagon Road, went to the prior owners of the Open Space Institute property. We learned about it the day after we gave a public informational meeting at the Senate Garage with DEC and OSI about the trail plan. And for the last 2 months now, basically, we've been scrambling to understand what this proposal is, where it is in the process. They are in site plan review. I think they've now had four planning board meetings where site plan review public hearing has been continued. We have submitted letters, comment letters to them. The Open Space Institute also commissioned two different sets of environmental consultants, as well as a hired outside counsel that specializes in land use and seeker, and presented information. The Bluestone Wild Forest is a state wild forest, and in the applicant's environmental assessment form, in the relevant area, they did not identify the existence of these adjacent public recreational lands, nor any impacts to them. That was our first really big red flag that made us realize that none of the impacts to the recreational lands, to the natural resources, and to the considerable investment that New York State has made in the day use facilities, in purchasing lands, in reclaiming. Onslow Lake was a blighted property. A lot of people don't know that when the state bought it. People thought DEC was crazy. There was a broken down trailer park on it. They hauled, you know, I don't know how much stuff out of there. Anybody that's been there in the last 10 years has seen how DEC has steadily upgraded those facilities. Right next to Ontario Lake, if you look at the map, you'll see a smaller body of water parallel to it, about two-thirds the size, Pickerel Pond, which is immediately adjacent to the project site. It is a beautiful body of water. So I don't want to take up too much time. We are doing our best to encourage the Town of Kingston Planning Board to rescind their previous negative declaration of environmental impacts, as we believe is required under SEAKER, to allow for the incorporation of all of the new information that has been provided to them by the consultants, by the attorney, by local residents, including residents on Wagon Road. Mr. Malloy here has hired an attorney. They provided a letter with questions, comments, recommendations, requests to the Planning Board. And this Monday night, they are going to resume their public hearing. And we do not know what action they may take, whether they move to issue site plan approval or if they rescind the negative declaration or do something short of that, but require the applicant to amend their application and the environmental assessment form to include some number of additional information and impacts. We think it's a really important issue. Obviously, this is going to be a very big facility. Our biggest concern right now is that twofold. New York State DEC will not comment on any of the impacts except what they consider to be under their legal jurisdiction of the stream disturbance permits, which are very minor in nature, according to them. Anything outside of that, impacts on the recreational lands, on the trails, on the natural resources, they are not opining on. And this is difficult for us to understand. We don't agree with it. We've had conversations with them about this at the local regional level, as well as OSI has had them up in Albany. But that is their position. It is a policy decision, and while we don't agree with it, we have to respect it. So that has left the organizations, OSI as an adjacent landowner, the neighbors, organizations like Woodstock Land Conservancy, to advocate for those recreational lands and natural resources. It is our job to do that. Now that's what we see. The applicant is making representations now. They have a publicity campaign. They've hired a PR firm saying they're going to be a green operation. To my knowledge, none of the claims that they make about that are actually in their application as filed with the town of Kingston. Likewise, they talk about the fact they're going to be bringing 60 good-paying jobs. There is no information really about what those jobs actually will entail. Nor is there any pledge by the applicant that they won't be applying for tax exemptions. We know that Mr. Oringer, the owner of the company, very recently applied for almost $1 million in tax exemptions for a separate business he owns on Kiefer Lane, crane storage business. There's a lot of things that in our view have are cart before the horse with this project, and obviously, we would appreciate any support that the legislature can give individually or as a committee collectively to help foster a constructive process. Neither the Open Space Institute nor Woodstock Land Conservancy has stated we're opposed to this project. We're trying to understand what it is. We want to make sure that it goes under. It's so important because of what's around it and the impact it could have on tourism, on the kinds of green tourism that Ulster County is really driving now, as economic development, including in several parts of the county very successfully. And we feel that the review has to be done very carefully and very comprehensively, and we're concerned that it's in the town of Kingston, which is a small town. Doesn't have a tremendous amount of resources. This is a complex project. The construction phase alone is 5 years, including blasting and mining and moving hundreds of thousand cubic yards of material. They do not have to apply for a mining permit.
Thank you.
Under DEC rights, because it's all for site construction. Thank you.
Jonathan?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, this project is just over the line in my district. However, the Bluestone Forest and Ontario Lake and Pickle Pond are a very important part of that surrounding communities, you know, shared by multiple towns. If people are interested, Jay can assist them as she did with me. I did submit a letter to the planning board that she helped me draft in consultation with the Woodstock Land Conservancy and Catskill Mountain Keeper. So if anyone is interested in commenting, I would suggest reaching out to Jay. She already has all the contact information and all the backup information as well.
Legislator Eckert.
Would it be possible that maybe as a committee we could write a letter and comment? Is there general enough agreement that this is problematic that we could?
I think as individuals, but I want to ask the legislative attorney, are you familiar enough? In my experience, something like that has not happened. Tracy, you have more experience.
What was
it?
Yeah, I missed the question.
I think for the
there have been instances where committees have sent letters, or the legislature has sent a letter with
complete sign on or just partial sign on, whoever agrees to sign on to the letter. We've done both, but it sounds like you don't have unanimous consent in this committee.
So it would be something akin to either a memorializing resolution or a memorializing letter that we've had over different issues.
Because of the timeline, though, I'd recommend individual legislators submit comment.
Okay. One more comment, and then we'll hear from the attorney, and then we're going to move on.
Okay. I just wanted to make a couple of points about this. First, about this.
I'm sorry, can you just yourself?
I am Mel Sedownick from West Hurley. Just to reiterate the scope of this project, it's really enormous. 240,000 square foot manufacturing and extracting facility. The developer is planning to clear cut 21 acres of trees and blast 450,000 cubic yards of rock. Construction will take at least 5 years, with work lasting from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. 12,500 trucks will be required to move 162,000 cubic yards of material. After construction, the facility will run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and cause over 100 new vehicles and 42 heavy trucks a day to use Route 28. So you can see the scope is enormous, and the potential noise pollution is really... I was at Onteora Lake yesterday. Now this project...
I'm sorry, I'm going to stop you because out of respect... We could have had this last on the agenda. The committee agreed to move it ahead. Not everybody on the committee is comfortable with taking committee time for this, and what you're saying is in the handout. So, out of respect for the members of the committee, I share your concerns, but I also want to be fair to the committee. So, I'll allow you 15 more seconds, and that's it.
I was at Onteora Lake yesterday. I could hear the trucks moving around. Now, it is so close to the lake that when there's blasting and tree cutting, no one could be at Onteora Lake comfortably for 5 or 10 or 20 years. How can Ulster County tolerate this? 5 people at the Town of Kingston Planning Board are making this decision, and it impacts every citizen in Ulster County.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, I want to go back to Attorney Gordon. Did you have something that you wanted to say? I saw your hand up before I called time.
I'm at your service here. I mean, this, as you know, this is my practice is handling cases like this. So, as Kevin was speaking, I had a number of questions for him. I can advise the committee on things that the legislature could do here.
Okay.
If you didn't do it, what the county's role would be and what the power of that is, and which is quite limited. We could have had lengthy discussions with clients on this at an initial meeting. I'm not sure how you want to handle it right now. But yes, there's a lot here. There are also some questions I'd want to ask to flesh out exactly what the we didn't actually get into what the impacts were, et cetera, so we could actually figure out how serious the problem is. It sounds very alarming, and I have every reason to believe that it is, but we don't have all the facts, and I'm not sure if they exist. I want to know who the players were. There's a lot of things to figure out in terms of the lay of the land here that I would be interested in taking a case like this on or advising you. So I'm at your service on this. Just tell me what we want to do in terms of time, effort, interests, et cetera.
I know that there is an urgency, and I think that what Legislator Heppner said about people expressing their opinions directly to the Town of Kingston is what's appropriate now, and we will, if you want to be in conversation, and then we can revisit this again briefly, because next meeting, I don't want to take any more time. This meeting,
I can talk to Kevin offline if that's
and because of the urgency, if people have comments, direct them to the Town of Kingston Planning Board.
I'm going to talk to Kevin offline and develop all the intelligence that I would try to develop and then report back at some point.
I see a lot of heads nodding of the committee members, so I think that's what's appropriate.
We'll do that.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Let's see. To go back to resolutions, the first resolution for our consideration. Yes?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you have them there, too, yeah, but these are all of them. I didn't know if you wanted your own copy or you just want to go through the
yellow. Excellent. This is resolution number 268, setting a public hearing on the proposed local law number 3 of 2019, a local law amending Chapter 304, Article 1 of the Code of the County of Ulster, to be held on Tuesday, August 13th at 6:10 p.m., and Legislator Petit is here. Do you want to speak to this?
I'll move it. Oh,
thank you.
I'll
moved and seconded by Legislator Warro and Legislator Waltman. Go ahead.
So this is an amendment to an existing law that went into effect when the county back in the 80s was looking to site a landfill just to ensure additional materials were going to be coming in from outside of our county. To clean it up a little bit and to incorporate the entire solid waste stream, we included a couple other components, including the regulated construction and demolition material, just so it encompassed the entire solid waste management stream. Again, that's only for materials that are brought here for the sole purpose of being landfilled. It doesn't impact, you know, if there's a processing facility going on, or Glamella, for instance, does process some C&D, so that does not impact that. And I did speak briefly with Tim Rose because I was asking, you know, if you bring in construction and demolition material, if you have a permitted site, generally there's a term where you can keep it on. Brush, for instance, you can store for 2 years. And he said construction and demolition type material is only allowed to be kept for 30 days. So that's
like
it.
As a sponsor?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did Fawn just ask if anyone?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I would like to be added.
If what?
She'd like to be added
sponsor.
As a sponsor.
As a sponsor. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any?
You can add my name too.
Okay. Well, I think I might as well. any concerns? All right, we are setting, the motion in front of us is to set a public hearing. I will call the question. Did you want to?
I just have a quick update on that. Many people may know that, in part, this law was inspired by a situation in the town of Saugerties involving a very, very significant amount of C&D importation from elsewhere and dumping tens of thousands of cubic yards. I just wanted to update everybody on information that I got.
You can leave it. Open.
Because my associate is one of the people representing the citizens on this. First of all, as people may know, DEC did a very heavy-duty enforcement, a notice of violation. Two things that have happened since. A, the landowner has continued to operate despite the NOV. He's still crunching away. And secondly, they just did the testing. Some of the testing has come back. There are apparently toxic chemicals contaminating the C&D. It's not pure C&D. I don't have all the information on it yet. My associate Emily Svensson is working on it, but I just wanted to let the committee know that this is apparently a more... The NOV hasn't knocked it out in this crowd in the pill, so we're in a pretty big situation.
Well, you're on the committee.
Go ahead.
You're on.
Okay, it's okay.
It is so that being said, is there... I mean, I haven't fully reviewed all of our legal articles. I mean, wouldn't that be criminal? Can we take a look at our law? Somebody who's blatantly just, you know,
well, that
doing
would be
that much
of that would be for the DA, not for the legislature. But
is there anything else we need to tighten up in our regulations?
Well, Ulster County doesn't have very... I mean, the regulations are really town and state. And the town is trying its hardest, but town trying to enforce its zoning against such a big and aggressive landowner is very, very difficult. They're stuck in court now. And DEC has been, you know, sort of the big lumbering bear. They get up... They've done two things now. They had a raid, and then they backed away, and they continued. And now they did a very, very positive NOV, but it's still going on. Now they've just got the information that it's toxic. So I've always had the position that we kicking DEC to get moving on this and reinterpreting their regulations, which apparently they've done, is probably the most helpful thing. If the county wanted to go ahead and just legislate all these things, we could take a we'd really be prying open a lot to take a look at it, if that's what you want to do.
I have two questions. One, I know the town is going before Judge Mott in October. Does this DEC intervention now impact that at all?
No,
or that's just a totally
separate
thing?
That's a problem. Judges, well, in my opinion, again, my knowledge of this is somewhat secondhand because through my associate, and I've tried to separate myself from it a fair amount. But that process is separate, and you can see what town regulation is doing. And the town is trying really hard in this, and they're
pushed off till October.
Give them a TRO, and we'll take more briefings on it. Meanwhile, the guy is still doing it. What the new information that there's toxic materials in there that has not gotten to the judge yet, and the town's actually, I know the supervisor is very concerned, but it's like, what do I do now? And then the judge is
basically... Would there be a potential for them to move up the court date with that information?
I have to. If you want to speak to,
but legally it could be possible.
I will,
maybe.
If the committee is interested, I will ask my associate to come in and brief you. She's representing the citizens and or the town. The town attorney can be brought in as well. Mm-hmm. These guys are, looking at it much more. They would give much more accurate answers than I could.
And would it be helpful for us to do some kind of letter or something, thanking the DEC and asking them to.
My position to everybody is, I wouldn't do a letter thanking DEC. I would get everybody into a
van. Well, you know what I mean? Thank you, but we need, no.
I would somebody's got to kick DEC really, really hard in a, is anything on here?
Yeah, can we do that?
We're being recorded.
Yes.
Sorry. DEC had, the county could adopt a position urging DEC to be more aggressive, in my opinion. That would be helpful if the county thought that was in the county's interest.
Chairman Bartel is trying to speak, please.
Yeah, I think it is in the county's interest and to have a sit down with DEC. But I want to begin by thanking Legislator Petit for bringing forward this resolution and taking a first step toward county action. I believe that ultimately, and it's a part of the solid waste management plan discussion, but I believe ultimately we are going to need to talk about flow control of C&D. Just in the way in this committee over the years, we've talked about owning our destiny in terms of self-reliance. The full cycle of waste, knowing where the full cycle of waste, where it begins and where it ends, and being responsible for it, and also not taking any outside waste, which Laura is the person who always corrects me when we talk about solid waste and we separate out recyclable or C&D, and Laura keeps saying, that's part of the solid waste stream. MSW... is a definition for a portion of it, but the reality is it's all solid waste, right? It just has different names. So I think we have to be responsible for the full cycle of it. The matter of fact is that's a bigger issue because it's going to require that our RRA, if we were to have flow control of C&D, our RRA would have to be able to handle it, and we certainly would have pushback from certain parts of the county and certain businesses inside and outside of the county. So this, to me, is a very strong and logical first step. A parallel path needs to be pushing the DEC to act and act aggressively. Because it's not just happening in Saugerties. We're aware of at least one other place in the county, but that's another place we're aware of. There's very likely other sites. People are making money off of the decision to take this material, and they're not doing the due diligence, and so we've become a dumping ground.
I guess my question is, again, is this something that we as a legislature can write a letter to the DEC and have anyone who agrees sign on? Is it better for the committee to do that? Or does it come from the county executive? What's the one of the best ways? Because to have a meeting would be great, and I think we should do that. but also to go on record and have it as part of the record that, you know, we feel that the DEC has been too passive in this process and has taken too long to become engaged.
I agree with Legislative Echo. I think we'd get more of the people to sign on than just the committee.
And we should do it sooner than later, right?
I just sent Vicki a letter asking her to format a letter for us to sign about to the DEC to take more aggressive action. Good. If that's okay. Yes.
So who are you suggesting draft that?
She sent it to Vicki, and Vicki will have the staff.
Jay on
okay.
It. Yeah.
And if anybody
and
wants to...
I will make sure to take a lead as well as the chair.
Okay.
You make sure, yeah.
Okay.
And we'll reflect the conversation here.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly. I mean, it can go to everyone, but this committee is taking the lead and taking leadership on it.
So are we going to try to do that before the next meeting?
I think
like
we
as
should.
Soon as we can, right?
Yeah. Before the next of this committee's meeting?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do we need to, it'll be in the minutes, but do we need to make any resolution to, okay.
No.
We don't have to make a motion to request. Okay.
No, because it
Very
would be
good.
A sign-on, so.
It's a sign-on letter.
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking. So we have a motion in front of us. My one last question is, you mentioned speaking with Tim Rose. This is going to affect the agency.
It won't because they transfer out. It
okay.
doesn't get landfilled. This specifically is an anti-importation for the purpose of landfilling.
Okay.
So they could bring in material, and they do bring in stuff.
All right, very good. So at this point, I'd like to call the question. All in favor of resolution number 268, setting the public hearing. Anyone opposed? The motion carries. Resolution number 271, and that is, let me sure read it properly, setting a public hearing on the proposed local law number 4 of 2019, local law amending Local Law Number 2 of 2019, a local law requiring restaurants and fast food service establishments to provide plastic beverage straws solely upon request to include plastic stirrers, plastic cutlery, and condiment packets to be held on Tuesday, August 13th at 6:20 p.m. Any first do I hear a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Moved by Legislator Heppner and seconded by Legislator Eckert. And any discussion on the extending the coverage from straws solely upon request to the other items listed in the resolution? Yes.
Well, I'm still a no, but I'll be a yes for public hearing.
Okay, very good.
Still.
And I know that Woodstock really led the way with their legislation, and that's how this came about. At this point, if there's no further, is there further discussion?
I had discussed with the chairwoman earlier about, since it's so close to the signing of the straw, not the ban, but the request for straws, if it could be implemented at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So, and I believe that was January 1st of 2020 for the straw, so.
Is the straw 2020? That's where
I thought, that's what I remember it.
That's kind of
it.
This
up.
One says 3 months subsequent to filing. So the ideal would be.
So could we?
I mean, that's fine.
Can we change that before it actually?
We definitely can, but we just need to check. Fawn, can you check with the straw law?
Yeah, we can change that next.
Yeah.
Straw law may have become effective upon filing
before the public hearing, right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a significant change.
It wouldn't be significant.
But we can do it today. We can solve this now.
I would think it might.
The
yeah, we have
date.
Kind of would seem like maybe.
Council. Gordon, is changing the date, if it is January 1st on the others, significant after we have the public hearing? question.
No.
No, okay.
Isn't it better to amend it in
committee? Yeah, it would be better to do it.
Yes. Legislator Waltman, you have your hand.
Yeah, I'm looking. I don't see any enforcement language in this resolution. Is there an enforcement element contemplated? Or?
It's just amending the existing to skip the straw law.
So it would
be the same.
Just match
the
law.
It is the skip the straw law amended to include.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
That's my understanding. I mean, but the question is, what's the implementation date of the skip the straw?
So we can change that.
I think we should just double check that the skip the straw law doesn't need to be further amended regarding enforcement here.
The skip the straw law has passed.
Yes.
We're not amending the resolution. We're amending the law.
But this is amending that law.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. 3 months.
3 months?
3 months from the filing with the state, and it's been filed.
I don't know if we have the confirmation, but it's 3 months.
Okay. So then it's 2. Yeah, then it's
just too bad.
Yeah.
Do we want to offer an amendment as sponsor?
I don't think it's necessary then, if it's already been...
The other one's already been filed.
I would just suggest that Vicki may know exactly the day that it was filed, and if it's 3 months from now, you could make this effective on that date. I think. I don't know if we have to wait 3 months. I don't know if that's a requirement.
I just went to a diner the other day, and I thought they offered me water without a straw, and lo and behold, as I moved around on the table, there was the straw. So, and it was wrapped, it could go back, but there's going to have to be a lot of education. So how do we want to resolve the question of date or enforcement?
There's two options. We could either do it 3 months after it's signed into law or start it on January 1st, which would be pretty close anyway.
If we're amending an existing law that already has an implementation date, what if we amended this amendment to take out the implementation date? Then it would automatically be the implementation date of the existing law.
Existing, that's interesting.
Just strike Section 6?
Yeah, just strike the implementation in this amendment.
Effective date.
The effective date, and then it would automatically be included
I don't know if we can, if it has to have an effective date.
No, because it's an amendment. It's not a... We're amending something that already has an effective date.
Right.
Know what I'm saying? We have an effective date.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
That would be my recommendation.
I have never faced this issue in the legislature before, but I think that just amending it would have the effect that you're saying.
Yeah.
It would amend an existing law, and it would be effective the minute it was signed if it didn't say effective date. But I don't know.
I don't think you need an effective date amendment.
Why don't you go on to something else? Let me see if I can get a hold of Vicki and find out.
That'd be great. Yes.
I'm curious if we have interns that are going to the stores for the plastic bag.
Yeah.
And doing the education thing. I wonder if they're going to be doing anything with the straws.
No. They
should be, but they're not going to be going in the same places because plastic...
No, it wouldn't be the same places, but I was just wondering.
So I spoke with Amanda yesterday, and she has an intern that is working on a fact sheet for straws.
Okay.
And they're interested in what's happening with this to know whether or not it should include the stirrers and other items. So this may have already been covered, and I apologize for coming in late, but the way we had originally talked about doing this resolution was not as an amendment, but as a separate law that would have the same effective date. So is there a reason we can't do what Fawn suggested, which is just put in the same effective date as the straw law? That would be the easy.
No, because this was just what we're
the only issue is that we don't know exactly what it is this evening because we don't know the exact day it was filed. We know it was filed, but we're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
That's the intention is to align the dates, the effective dates.
But I think yesterday we looked this up, and there was a specific date in the
3 months from.
Yeah, that we confirmed.
That's what Vaughn just looked up.
September something.
Well, maybe it does. I'm sorry. Maybe it does because maybe they put a date based on what when they filed it.
No. Oh, and that's the version
no.
we saw.
No.
Draws?
No.
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 I
don't
do that. It should have the language we passed, not.
Yeah.
He signed it in June, July, August, September. That would be 30 days.
So maybe it was just a blurb and not actually part of the law?
You know,
When it would take into effect?
This says this local law has to be 3 months subsequent.
Legislative record.
So maybe they had a date that I saw while we were talking.
Wondering if we could just strike 6 and simply say that this amendment will...
does not affect the effective date.
Does not affect the effective date.
There's
right?
no impact.
Right.
I don't even think
you just clarify that this is.
I think it'd be cleaner just to cut that section.
Right. You could also do that.
Just cut it.
Cause all right. Well, Fawn is trying to reach Vicki to see if she had. Why don't we just hold this? We can come back to it because we don't. If we're going to amend it, we should do it today in committee so that we don't have to.
I think we should strike 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're trying to find out if that's possible. Let's hold on this. Go to the next resolution, unless there are other concerns other than the effective date. And I think the enforcement is covered, Brian. You're comfortable with that. Okay. So let's just set this aside and revisit it. We're not tabling it. We're just going to set it aside.
I do have an answer. I just said, okay, it hasn't been filed yet. All right. They are discussing the effective date of the amendment. Okay, she told me to call her. Hang on.
All right. Let's set this aside, and if it's okay, go to begin our discussion on Resolution 272. I know this is still on the table, but can I call for
I'll move it.
Jonathan
Heckner
and Brian Waltman. Thank you. This is setting a proposed hearing on Local Law Number 5 of 2019, a local law amending the code of Ulster County to include mandatory food scraps by large generators to be filed on. I am going to hold on this because we have two important loose ends, and I've been in communication with the health department and also the county attorney. We had a meeting scheduled actually for tomorrow that had to be postponed, but it's a high priority for the executive branch to set up a meeting between the legislative attorney and the county attorney on the question of field preemption, and the other is the question of which department or agency is going to be responsible for education receiving annual reports and for enforcement. The current law did not have direct input from the executive branch, and the people that helped draft this listened carefully to concerns raised by the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency that they, because they are in a sense in the business of receiving food waste, processing it, and selling compost. Hold on one second. Let me just finish my sentence. That there might be a conflict of interest or a perceived conflict of interest for them to do enforcement, that they might, because they have direct involvement. However, it really does parallel what came up in a preliminary meeting with the Department of Health and others is that it parallels the fact that the agency is the responsible enforcing agency for recycling, and they also take in recyclables, process, and market them. So it might be a more appropriate place, agency to serve that role. The other issue is that if Department of Health employees work outside of Article 6, which this might be, that it puts some of the funding for the sanitarians in jeopardy. So that's another conversation that needs to be had, and the executive branch is actively setting up two more meetings. I'm going to, as sponsor, hold this, essentially table it for one more month, and hopefully by then we'll have everything resolved and be able to move forward. And at that time, I want to have a more robust discussion. And after we resolve the previous resolution that's on the table, if people do want more detail about this, I'd be glad to have a little bit of discussion. But I wanted you to know those two loose ends and why I'm tabling or asking for no action. Yeah.
So the prospects of the public hearing in August, or it's going to get moved.
It's probably going to be September. Yeah.
Have you spoken to the agency to see if they'd be willing to participate in the enforcement? Since the law does include them getting the numbers for their annual tonnage fees.
Yeah. I've been kind of in the middle of trying to. And I'd rather have the agency speak with, it's really the Department of Environment and Department of Health, and that meeting actually had been set up, but because one of the attorneys could not attend, it's being rescheduled. We could go set the public hearing, but these are two really important points, especially the enforcement, and I'd rather hold off 1 month and have this clarified. But your point is well taken. I did write up a memo which I haven't circulated, and I will do that. My memo is the notes of the meeting, and I sent it to everyone who was at the meeting to be sure that my notes accurately reflected what was said, and I had actually meant to send it to this committee and to the people that helped develop the law before tonight, and I was remiss in doing that. Okay, so since this is being tabled... Yes.
Did you get the? I know you didn't get the original notice that the meeting was canceled. Did you get the notice that they want to reschedule for Tuesday?
Yes, I did. Yeah, and I have to look at my calendar, but they're being very responsive, which is very helpful.
So Vicki has language.
Yes.
Section 6 will now read: This local law shall be effective subsequent to filing in the office of the Secretary of State on the same date Local Law 2 of 2019 becomes effective.
Excellent.
Great. Sounds good to me.
Nice. Moved by Legislator Heppner. Second. By Legislator Eckert. All in favor on the amendment first?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Okay. And yes, please.
I have a suggestion for another amendment. The title of this law, as it's currently written, seems to require food establishments to offer these things. It doesn't, but the grammar makes it read, solely upon request to include stirrers and so forth. So I would suggest that solely upon request be changed to only upon request and moved to the to follow and condiment packages.
Mm.
So that it would say fast food service establishments provide beverage straws, to include plastic stirrers, plastic cutlery, and condiment package only upon request.
which I think is closer to the title of the law we're amending.
Go ahead.
Can I make a suggestion on Kathy's, and just get rid of to include? Make the change you said, but provide plastic beverage straws, plastic stirrers, plastic cutlery, and condiment packages only upon request.
To make it a series
just forget
of
the
items.
Because now it will just automatically.
Thank you.
And then that same language could be changed in the first part of the...
the first whereas.
A and B of Section 4, I guess it is.
Legislator Petit, are you comfortable with that right now?
I am. So it would be in the title. It would be in the first whereas.
Yes.
And in Section 4.
Section 4 is actually okay, I think.
That's okay. Yes, thank you.
And then I would just, can I just clarify for Fawn, just to check it with Vicki if we have to, because we're amending local law number 4, local law number 2.
We're amending local law two, and that is the title.
We might have to recognize the original title and in the title change it to the new title. But I think if we pass it today, as with the title as amended, you guys can figure out that word, and that's fine. I mean, we do.
Ultimately,
that.
We want the title.
We know what we want the new
local
title
law four,
to be,
yeah.
So we might have to recognize what the old title was.
Mm-hmm.
But Vicki will know whatever the correct procedure is.
Right. So, on the amendment of the title,
I'll move that.
Legislator Hefner.
I'll second that.
Legislator Eckert.
Or Chair Botels.
Oh. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion to amend the title carries. And now on setting the public hearing. And is there any other discussion before I call the question? Okay. All in favor of setting the public hearing?
As amended. Law is amended.
Aye.
All right. And.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm opposed.
Okay. Legislator.
So 5.
Waltman is opposed. So 4 in favor, 1 opposed.
Yep. 5 in favor, 1 opposed.
5 in favor. Yes. Okay. And now we let me just take a moment and ask: are there any questions? And again, I'm sorry, I did not send around the memo I had meant to, but on local. Resolution number 272 on the food waste composting. I know I had a conversation with Legislator Nolan. We have had stakeholder meetings with the large food waste generators and with the haulers to be sure that any concerns that they had, and in this case, one of the members of the ad hoc committee that met at the agency to create this legislation is one of the major local haulers who has direct experience working on this. So hearing no further questions or comments at this time, and you may have some after you see my memo, and we'll bring that back up next month. Let's move to resolution number 306, authorizing additional funding for Capital Project 528, the Veterans Cemetery, to meet environmental and permitting requirements and seeking lead agency status. This had been essentially overlooked and has to be done. There's been extensive discussion in other committees. So, first.
Second.
Okay, Legislator Wong and Legislator Hefner. Any discussion on this resolution? Then, hearing none, I will call the question. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay.
Grab these.
Yes, let's get around. Hold mine.
Yes. For now.
And we will. So, resolution number 306 carries, and we will move to executive order under new business. And I just want to acknowledge the executive order regarding the county's use of renewable energy.
Did anyone else need a copy of it? It should be on your pad. But
and this also, something very similar came up in Public Works, and some of us are going to be working to try to really clarify that, for example, when the county is investing money or the college is investing money in redoing roof, that at that time, the whatever needs to be done, unless there's an external reason not to, that the roof be made sturdy enough to receive solar. You know, they do measure snow load and other things, but to specifically evaluate and include the consideration for additional insulation, because roofs are the area where there tends to be the most leaking of heat and the most gain, solar gain, if they're not well insulated. Some of this is already covered in previous policies, so we have to look and see what's there and what we might want to amend, and several people have offered to work on that. But I just want to acknowledge the county executive for this executive order. Did you?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's definitely worthy of acknowledgement, and it's something that I look forward to partnering as the legislature with the executive to make sure that we can execute. I think moving through this committee, there's several things that we should undertake looking at. We should be revisiting the Green Fleet policy to update those. We've met the goals, so given this executive order, we should be revising that. We should look at the green building policy, which was written, I don't even know, I want to say we passed that, I think I wrote it in 2007 or 6, that required a LEED standard for new construction, and that it be considered for substantial improvements, but we need to be more aggressive with that. And as to the roof, I've been thinking a lot about the roof discussion since Ways and Means on Tuesday, because it is such a repeat discussion that we have. And I actually think that we should start, rather than looking at a policy that is simply requiring that at the time a roof is being redone, that it consider the loads. I mean, I just read an article that in California they passed a law that said, starting in 2020, all new home construction mm-hmm. must have solar mm-hmm. on it. I think we should start from that type of aggressive place, that all new roof work shall have either solar or a green roof, whatever we're going to consider. We need to work it out. It's not an edict coming from the legislature, but I think it's time to be very clear in a policy, and that way it'll be transmitted way out. We have an executive that's on board with it, and yes, these things cost money, but always the upfront costs need to be weighed against the environmental costs of doing nothing, and then the actual fuel cost, you know, the fuel cost. I mean, I have great regret that we did not move forward in the solar project that went out to RFP in 2006, which was for solar on 4 substantial county buildings, and at the time would have been the biggest solar project in New York State, mm-hmm. And it would have already paid itself back based on what those numbers were then. So I just, my point is, I think we need to actually act on it, and I think we should be thinking fairly aggressively and then working through the process from that point.
And I also think basically we can sort of nickname this the Roof Committee, but we know that it includes more than that. But I think we want to include the Department of Environment in the conversation, because the energy efficiency resolution, that policy makes it mandatory that the Department of Energy, Department of Environment, be responsible for implementing that policy, and they also name two other departments that can optionally, and that there should be annual reports, etc. So they are very central and have been working with purchasing, etc. So I think including them in that conversation, if I say that, you know, having just been through a food waste processing where we didn't get direct input from those entities that were going to be impacted. Mm-hmm. So if we can create that while we're developing the resolution, I think that'll be helpful. Yes?
So I agree with all that has been said so far. I think that part of the reason we feel like it's coming up over and over again is that we do have the green building policy, but it hasn't covered the university. And we've got these DASNY projects that are to redo a whole bunch of the roofs, and they're coming in batches of a couple here and a couple there. So there truly is the sense that it keeps coming up again and again. And for under our green building policy and the work of the Department of Environment, we've got this FlexTech study. So the results of that are going to give a clear picture of what we should be doing for the buildings that covers, but it doesn't cover the SUNY Ulster. So I think that is part of the problem, and I think we need to look at how we can address that. Jamie has said in Public Works Committee's meetings that they did, you know, that they are looking at that and trying to do it, but it's not formalized in the same way as we have it for our buildings, and therefore it feels like it can slide. And maybe it is actually sliding. I don't, because we don't have the formality, we can't kind of measure what's happening against anything. So I think that they would be open to developing that, and I don't know if it needs to actually come from them or whether we can develop a policy that does cover them, even though our existing policy apparently doesn't. So I think those questions could help us, and they're, I think, very willing partners on it, because they recognize that it can save them money and help the environment and all that. So I think they share the goals, but they... It's not as though that Jamie can say, "Oh yeah, we you know gave those specs to the engineers right. or the architects," because they haven't had that.
I think there's two things happening. I mean, I think you're right. I think SUNY Ulster has and would be a willing partner, and also they have a program in training people to install solar. So it's, you know, it's the perfect venue for it. But just in terms of what's happening in the county itself, I know that it's a regular occurrence in the last, 8 years, that every time a roof redo or a roof improvement or a project that involves a roof in any way, shape, or form comes up, Mana is usually the person to ask about solar, and it's usually... it's by the time it's before us, it's too late, and they say, "Well, we didn't spec it out." Or then they give. They one time we got that study. It was by Tesla, I want to say, and it was some study saying how it wasn't financially feasible. And I'm simply saying that if we have a policy that says it's required, it ch- changes the discussion about whether, you know, I think always it's going to be more expensive, right? It's always going to cost more to put solar up front, right? So I just think we have to be approaching it as something that is of critical importance and that needs to be in the lexicon of not even the decision making, but of what's going, when you're going out to bid, we're updating. I mean, I think it's very likely we're going to be having this discussion, unfortunately, about the jail very soon, the law enforcement center, because from what I've heard, there are issues with that roof, which shouldn't be, because it's life shouldn't, it's, it shouldn't be an issue this soon. But
12 years.
I keep hearing that that's going to be an issue, and
seems to be a common theme.
And that's very frustrating. But it should be an opportunity for us to say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to maximize that space. It's a giant footprint. So,
and I think talk with the executive branch about litigation. I mean, if we have heaters failing at half the expected life expectancy, roof failing at half the expected life expectancy, I don't know if
boilers.
We're in any.
We're out. I mean,
the boilers also. Yeah.
My understanding is that we're out of our warranty on the equipment and on the roof, and my also understanding and my thought, having been there, you know, as the building was being opened, is that if it was leaking immediately, there was a lot of incentive not to say it was leaking, because there was a lot of pressure already, and you know, and focus. It was a mess already. So, because what I have heard is that it's been leaking for as long as it's been open.
So, to sort of help this actually to happen, do we want to decide a mechanism to have a basically subcommittee meeting to address this? And it would be a combination, I think, of folks from Public Works, where this keeps coming up, and from this committee. Maybe the two chairs are here. We'll try to find a date and set aside some time to start to review what exists and start to move forward. And where it became an issue for me was the family court. I felt that they really should have, while that was open, they should have reinforced those trusses. And to say that, you know, it was too costly to do that, I don't think really took into, and they had a little study done.
That was a testing study.
But I think you're right. At this point, unless there's a reason not to, for example, the building is completely surrounded by trees that shade it, and we don't want to take down the trees. There may be exemptions, but I think the default should be, if you're restoring a roof that is open to the sun, that it be prepared for solar, and then the sequencing of when solar occurs or if it occurs, but at least that extra step has been taken.
I would be happy to work on that as well. And I think we brought up whether our roofs are white or light colored as opposed to dark. I don't think we actually have that much roofing square footage that it made a big difference, but maybe we should look at that again, as well as roof gardens, as either an alternative or as an addition to solar. So I think, you know, bringing together people to really maximize the energy efficiency and energy generation and other benefits of roofs.
Great. All right, so we will coordinate. Legislative
record. Just sort of in addition to that, now I'm going to move off of roofs, but for some time now, we've known that there are a variety of different kinds of concrete to put down, some of which is porous and allows water to sink into the ground rather than roll off. And I know it's been cost prohibitive in the past. We've talked about it in the city of Kingston. But it seems to me that, again, this is along the same lines,
that it might be more expensive at the outset, but given all of, especially in the city of Kingston, all of the infrastructure problems we're having with heavy rainwater mm-hmm. and flooding.
All the CSOs.
So right, it would do us well to revisit this question and reconsider in light of climate change and stronger storms coming in and wreaking havoc, if it's time to reconsider the cost.
For pervious paving.
Exactly mm-hmm. right.
Yes.
Do you have your hand up late?
I do. That's okay.
Okay. Yeah, I would suggest reframing it a little bit because I think there's great value in revisiting how that stormwater runs off. But in Public Works, it's come up repeatedly. The impervious pavement is not holding up well at the at SUNY Ulster. And so in addition to the initial upfront cost, you're having much greater repair costs. In addition, there's a new technology where the asphalt that's in place can be ground up and then just reheated and put right back down. So the cost of repairing and putting back in what you already have has gone way down. So now you've got that cost way down against those other considerations. And so changing the asphalt may not be the best way to address the stormwater issue. It may be the runoff and the storm drains and catchment basins. So I would just say I'm not opposed to looking at it and getting the numbers on what I just said. Mm-hmm. But I think there may be other aspects of that, too, that might be easier to change.
I would keep it. You know, ultimately, it can go into one package, but I would keep the... I think that is actually probably going to require a feasibility study because there are pros and cons and there's certain applications. So I don't think it's as kind of cut and dry as the solar. And I just want to bookmark it that we will get back to that, but just to be sure that we don't just talk about this and keep talking about it. Let's focus on the roofs first, and then
to the streets.
Yes. Okay. Let's see. Do we have yet? Nope. We're in.
So can I say something about what was circulating?
Yes,
here?
Please. Go ahead.
So greatly pleased with the executive order and thought it brought to a focus several things that we've all wanted to happen. And in talking with Amanda about it, said, yeah, but shouldn't we have a policy? And she said, yes, we were hoping that the legislature would codify this. So I reached out to Vicki couple of weeks ago and said, would you work with me on this? And this week she said, yes, I've been working on it. We were almost ready to go. Should we circulate it as a draft? And I was like, okay. So most of this language is just taken directly from the executive order and adding in a few of the achievements that we had as a county so that we have one place where we're kind of up to date with that. And then the resolves are to do the things that are indicated in the executive order, as well as I hadn't really been aware, but our to upgrade us on our climate smart community. What I hadn't been aware of was that we were a certified bronze, and the New York State decided that the certified bronzes would become silvers. So we kind of became a silver without having really to do much new stuff. And then the people that had previously not been certified bronzes, I guess, became certified bronzes or something, shifted everything around. So in speaking with Amanda, she felt that it was a reasonable objective to shoot for gold, but New York State has not yet formulated standards for what gold would be. So I said, okay, but by 2025, they probably will have standards, so let's put in 2025, and she was agreeable to that. So just so everybody knows, we're agreeing to achieve something that hasn't even been set yet. But that kind of feels
That's
good.
A big dream.
So This is a, it's, it doesn't have a number on it, hasn't been submitted, but the idea would be to have us all look at it and see if it has the right things in it, see if it should have anything else in it, and submit it for consideration for August.
In you know, tying it into reviewing our current energy policy, and you know, I'd like to just like I don't want to jump off the roof, but just say, you know, instead of considering, and you know, it even refers to, you know, considering energy efficient equipment. I think we should really set a standard where it's required. So with that, so tying it into the use of renewable energy, I would like to see another resolve in here that if we are not able to produce our own energy on the buildings, at that point we would then be buying the energy from you know, a local generator.
I actually asked Vicki to put that in, and so it didn't get in.
Minds.
Yes, great. because I think it's in the executives that it would be to do one or the other. And so what we were discussing is that we didn't want to do one or the other. We wanted to do one,
yes,
and then if not able to do the other.
Yes.
And so that I agree with that language going in.
I just want to also add a comment that climate leadership and Community Protection Act has been passed, and it would be valuable, just as we did for the food waste composting, to make a chart that shows, so that we know that we're being more inclusive and where it's more restrictive, but that we are, by creating this resolution, I want to know how that aligns with CLCPA.
I added the L at the last one.
Yes. And they took some things out, but we do have strong state legislation, so I just want to see if we can make that comparison as was recommended for food waste composting. All right, thank you very much. Now let's see, progress on the local solid waste management plan. There is a very preliminary draft that was submitted to the Solid Waste Planning Commission, and included prior to that was a matrix of asking us to sort of list the criteria or the values and ranking them, everything from timeliness to cost to environmental impacts, etc. And that is being considered by Cornerstone, the consultants who are writing the plan. And the draft that we saw so far is very preliminary and makes no recommendations regarding technologies. But as I said earlier, I think there is an urgency. I've asked Legislator Petit to come to the next meeting to talk about zero waste.
And that's the 24th.
That is the 24th, yeah. We kind of left that meeting. We left it a little bit up in the air because of a tour on the 17th.
Yes, right now we have two people going on that tour.
Okay.
But other people are invited if anybody'd like to go.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out my schedule. For
unfortunately, I have a bid opening at my work, so I can't get out of it.
And this is right now scheduled for Delaware County. It's a shame to have to go out in that direction twice, but it is clearly a day-long trip if we're going to go to Oneida, Herkimer. And the other thing that Fawn has been working on is the plastics facility in New Jersey. There doesn't seem to be an awful lot of enthusiasm for example, the Peekskill incinerator we had a very good presentation on Taylor and a good presentation on Enstorga. Did I say that? I said it right?
Close.
Okay, close. And but I think seeing the facility in Delaware County is going to be worth it. And is it myself and?
Oh, well,
so
if you're going through, you're three.
Three, okay.
Is it possible to drive up because you're going from there to Oneida Herkimer?
No, we were.
You're just going to the Delaware facility?
Just Delaware,
okay.
Because Oneida Herkimer is such a long day. And we had thought we would come back and hold the meeting and maybe hold an early meeting, but Legislator World can't make earlier meetings, so we just nailed down the 24th as
for you.
The next commission meeting, and I hope that everyone on that committee can come to that meeting where
everybody's
it will really
to
get... you know, once we actually have a document from Cornerstone that goes to the agency and is referred to that committee, that's where the rubber will meet the road. But I just can't stress enough the urgency to come up with a solution that is implementable in 5 years. And by a solution, it may have many components or several components.
Sure.
All right.
So they're kind of loosely related to this. I have two links that I would like to send so that could be distributed to the committee. One is about a process that making concrete that involves calcium carbonate and uses CO2 from various sources to make calcium carbonate that then is locking that carbon into the concrete. And this is not yet national, but it's being done in California. And it is basically a drawdown type of situation where you use existing carbon in the production of something that used to be one of the most carbon intensive production processes that we have. And I think the idea of actually removing waste from either the atmosphere or other streams is really important for us to think about. The 850 Route 28 project that was discussed earlier, if they're going to really be green, they should actually be using this type of concrete. The second link has to do with composting waste with maggots, and this was a story in the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, yeah,
they may have gotten it from your Facebook post.
Imagine the fly infestation.
And the maggots are so effective that they're actually creating protein that could potentially be used for cat food, dog food, and some people say pretty crunchy. it's one of those cutting edge approaches that uses a specific type of fly that has to be cultivated and all that. But then when you do it, basically you go from having waste to having a sellable product. So I will send them to Mana and Fawn and ask that they circulate them. I didn't want to send you the maggot one without some
preparing
context.
Yes.
It was carbon. It was just a whole host of gases that the way that the maggots broke down the material. So it was fascinating for Mana. And they were also arguing that the product can be used as food. Right. But it had many beneficial uses beyond, even if you didn't want to go down that direction and actually consume it as food.
Just to
rumors say much better than crickets.
I have two last things. One is the Climate Smart Committee. The attendance has been dropping, and Cal Truman and I are calling all of the Climate Smart Task Forces, and in the case where we don't know who the contact person is, we're just going to call the town supervisor, or it's the town supervisor where it's missing, and strongly recommend that they find somebody. It could be on a rotating basis. It doesn't have to be the same person, but that all of the towns that that have adopted, taken the Climate Smart Pledge and have a task force, send a representative. Saugerties has been very regular. Rosendale has been varying. New Paltz has been varying. And these are well-established committees that have a lot to offer.
Woodstock's been very good.
Yes. And so we're following through with that. And the something else I rocked the room with earlier today at the Hudson Valley Regional Council, Mid-Hudson Regional Sustainability Coalition. We have been talking about creating a regional renewable energy implementation plan as a model for other regions. It would be done by utility zone. So in the Central Hudson utility zone, Westchester would do Con Ed, Orange would do Orange and Rockland, but work with the utilities to really answer the question, which I've heard in many meetings, how do you get from here to there? How do we implement this state? They've left it to the utilities who have written distributed system implementation plans, but it's to some extent another document that is sitting on a shelf and not actually, it doesn't have community buy-in and participation. We don't know where the loads are and where the generation is coming from and how we meet the state goals on time.
Was it written with community participation or was it written at a upper level?
This would be on the ground. The utilities would be part of the process, but it wouldn't be relying on them. That's really the bottom line. But the thing that shook the table was that I believe, and I'm going to reach out to our state senator and our state assembly person, I believe we need to modify CEQA to include full life cycle analysis of carbon emissions. And that, you reminded me when you talked about the concrete. So without sequestering carbon, production of cement is one of the most energy intensive, and really has a very high carbon footprint. But we talk about costs, we talk about endangered species, but we're in the middle of a climate crisis. We have to start looking at the life cycle analysis, not just the footprint in terms of, as came up earlier, disturbing lands, recreational impacts, or biological, ecological impacts, but we have to look at the climate impacts, and I think it's time to revise CEQA. That's going to take a few years, but that's where because we were talking about economic development, I threw that on the table and people were like, whoa, nobody's going to want to develop anything. Well, yes, they're going to want to develop sustainably is what they're going to have to do.
In the long run, they'll be saving, so not just environmentally, but economically. It's going to make a big difference.
All right, any other old business, new business? Yes, please, Dave.
If you don't mind, just real quickly, the Environmental Council, 2 months ago, heard from Taylor, had a presentation from Taylor. But last month, we had a really good presentation on Dam Scammer, the old coal-fired plant down in Marlboro on the river, and the conversion to what they want as a rapid on Onset natural gas fired plant there. With a 15 to 20 year lifespan, they're putting up a new building which is above the floodplain. They're capping off the old ash, coal ash thing, and making that a closed landfill. They're not going to use any river water for cooling. So that they've addressed a bunch of things. It was a really great presentation. I'm guessing that Amanda, if you all have copies of it, that Amanda LaValle might be able to get you guys a copy of that. I don't know whether it's something of interest to you, but it looks like, I mean, that's their goal, to have, they're trying to supply that extra energy that's going to be lost with Indian Point as it goes down. And
so this was a presentation by Dan Scammer Energy?
Yes.
I think it behooves the Environmental Management Council to have a presentation of the other concerns. I know Andrew Pizzullo of Food and Water Watch is taking a lot of leadership. There is... many municipalities in the area have, or several, many may be an exaggeration, have passed resolutions in opposition to that proposal, but many individual elected officials have signed on to a letter. I don't want to get into a discussion now, but...
We have not taken any step. All we were doing was getting information.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. There are... definitely measures that new facility would take, but I think you have to compare also the fact that the existing peaker plant operates less, by their their words, that it's less than 5% of the year, and that the new facility would operate 60-70%. So even if the scrubbers and filters are better, that comparison needs to be done and will be done as they go through the Article 10 process.
Yeah. Just wanted to make you aware of that.
Anybody else? Thank you. Dan Scammer is an important question for the region, but it's also, it affects the town of Marlboro, the Marlboro School District, and taxes. So there's a really good example in, I can't remember if it's Connecticut or Massachusetts, but I've pulled that, and I will I'll send that to Fawn to circulate, about a just transition where a coal plant was closed. And they replaced that with solar and saved everyone's job. And, you know, went from, as GlidePath did, from being sort of public enemy number one to being, you know, really celebrated. And I think those are the examples we want to be looking at. So I'll send that around.
Reminds me of one other thing. At our town's meeting the other night, a woman had gone to a meeting on battery storage, which is a big issue, and the take-home message that she had was that every town should have legislation with regard to battery storage. The biggest issue with these lithium-ion common battery is fire, and making sure that there are resolution, but there's a template out there that you can use. But I mean, that was the take-home message to her, that every single town should look at this and should have in place some sort of local resolution before they get bombarded with people wanting to put up storage facilities.
And there is going to be a whole presentation on storage at the Climate Summit. Anybody remember the date for the Climate Summit that's coming up?
I have it.
Tom Kakandis, myself, and Betta are creating that. I think we're going to be featuring SUNY New Paltz, since the event will take place at SUNY New Paltz, and they have a microgrid and they have battery storage on site. And then somebody from the industry So that was one of the goals of the Climate Smart Committee, and it's sort of being met by this climate summit that's coming up. But
in addition, while you're looking,
September 21st. It's a day-long event. I believe that's a Saturday, and the amount of brain power going into creating a climate summit here in Ulster County, it's for the whole state and beyond, but it's really going to be a top-notch event, so if people are interested in climate solutions, get that on your calendar.
When is that?
September 21st. In addition, the Town of Ulster and Evelyn Wright, I think it was Town of Ulster Citizens, may have been Kingston Citizens with Evelyn Wright, put together a presentation on zoning for battery storage.
Yeah.
And they do have model legislation that they are suggesting that towns use.
It's very wise, just as it was wise a few years ago for solar, but not to put moratoriums, but to put guidelines that protect prime agricultural land and forests and so forth. All right, I think we have covered a lot of territory. Any last minute?
Motion to adjourn.
So moved. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Meeting adjourned at 7:47.